Cavalcade of Sports is on the air. Once again, from Yankee Stadium in New York, this is Bob Wolf greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company. Soon, the fourth game of the 1958 World Series between the Milwaukee Braves and the New York Yankees will be underway. The World Series is one of the many major sports classics broadcast and telecast for your enjoyment on the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports. Other top attractions include the World's Invitational Match Game Bowling Championships, the Blue-Gray Football Game, the Rose Bowl Game, the Kentucky Derby, the All-Star Baseball Game, and the Feature Fight of the Week every Friday night. This is Gillette's word of thanks to you for using our products. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball, solely the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. There's a hum of excitement here at Yankee Stadium. This is the game that will put the Yankees right back into the series picture, or will put the Braves squarely in the driver's seat. This is the game that will pit pressure against pressure. The Braves' dependable Warren Spahn against the Yankees' clutch pitcher, Whitey Ford. And should the Braves win, it will take but one victory tomorrow to make it a second straight World Championship. Should the Yankees win today, however, that will mean a return after Monday's game to Milwaukee to determine this year's winner. After the first two games of the series, the first a 10-inning victory for Milwaukee, the second a 13-5 rout of the New Yorkers, it was a concerned and depressed Yankee squad that headed back to New York. There was talk that the general slump which had affected New York the last 2 months of the season was still there. And there was a new note of respect for the Milwaukee pitching and hitting, which had combined for two straight wins. And although the Yankees evidenced no signs of desperation, they went about their preparations for yesterday's game with this fact plainly before them. Win or else. The Yankees' talk before yesterday's game was quiet and serious. It added up to this: faith in Don Larsen to come through for them. And the sentiments expressed proved to be correct. Larsen did come through, aided by Ryan Duren, with old pro Hank Bauer personally escorting Larsen along the victory trail. But it took a great effort for the Yankees to stay alive, for Bob Rush turned in a tremendous pitching effort against them. Today, the Yankees are breathing just a bit easier, while the Braves are just itching to apply the stranglehold. Today, the Yankees have their chunky southpaw, Whitey Ford, going for them again, the guy they call upon for the big ones. Ford has never lost a series game here in New York. Throughout the years, he's won five and was the starting pitcher in another game that was eventually won by another Yankee in relief. They can't beat Ford, they'll tell you in New York. And then they point out that Whitey not only has ice water in his veins, but has proved his worth year after year by having the top one-loss percentage and earned run average of all pitchers active today. If he has to shut them out to do it, Whitey will take care of it, Yankee fans will tell you. And they'll point out that half of his 14 victories this year came by blanking the opposition. It's a great case for Ford that can be written, with just one exception. And his name is Warren Spahn. Point out Ford's many accomplishments to a Milwaukee fan, and he'll come back with his own ammunition. He may be great, the Milwaukee partisan may admit, but he still has not won 20. And our boy Spahn has done it 9 times. And as for shutouts, they'll point out Spahn's 43, more than any left-hander in baseball. And as the capper, they'll say, Warren took the first game, didn't he? And don't forget, he not only pitches, he hits too. So here are two immovable objects, two superb pitches, and great competitors meeting head-on in the crucial game that will tie the series for New York or open up a commanding lead for the Braves. Now, as we get set for this game here in New York, the weather is overcast. Earlier, the sun was peeping through, but there are just gray skies up above right now. It's a warm afternoon, but there's a possibility of showers later today. The 1958 World Series is being brought to you from Yankee Stadium in New York.
Hello there, everybody. I'm Mal Allen with a giant offer from Papermate that tops them all. Listen, how'd you like a genuine Papermate pen free? How'd you like a genuine Papermate refill free? Sound good? Well, that's exactly what you get. Free pen, free refill. When you buy Papermate's famous two-tone pen at the regular $1.69 price. What a bargain. As it says right on the special Papermate display, you get a two-tone pen worth $1.69, plus an extra silver tip refill worth 49 cents, plus a retractable schoolmate utility pen worth 39 cents. A $2.57 value, all three for only $1.69. How about that? A $2.57 value for only $1.69. Look for the special Papermate display at stores everywhere. Buy your two-tone pen at regular price, get an extra pen, an extra refill, free from Papermate. This sensational offer is limited, so hurry and get your free Papermate pen and free refill now.
We've spoken about the pitchers. Now for a look at the lineups, as manager Casey Stengel and manager Fred Haney have come out with the umpires at home plate. Here's how they line up for the big game this afternoon. For Milwaukee, Red Shingdinks is at second base. Johnny Logan is at shortstop. Ed Matthews batting third at third base. Hank Aaron is batting fourth, and he is playing center field today. Joe Adcock is at first base. Del Crandall is catching. Wes Covington is in left field. Andy Papko is in right field. And Warren Spahn is pitching. Now, as you've noted, manager Fred Haney has put in added right-handed batting strength. Adcock, right-handed hitter, is back in at first base. Andy Papko hits right, is in there in the outfield. And Aaron has moved over to center. Bruton, who bats left, is not starting. The Braves are starting the same nine men who played the first game, except that Aaron and Papko have exchanged the outfield positions. Aaron is in center, where he played the entire 57 series, and Andy Papko is in right. So that's how the Braves will line up today. Now for the New York Yankees. They have a shuffled lineup. Norm Seaborn, who does bat left-handed, is leading off and playing left field. Gil McDougald is at second base. Hank Bauer in right field. Mickey Mantle is in center field. Elston Howard is catching. Bill Scourin at first base. Bobby Richardson at third base. Tony Kubek at shortstop. And Whitey Ford is pitching. There are some notes on this revised New York Yankee lineup. Seaborn is in there because he hits particularly well against left-handed pitching. He's played during the season against it, although he's a left-handed batter. He hit his last two homers of the season on the final day against Baltimore's Jack Cartman, who is a left-hander. So Seaborn is in there leading off. Gil McDougal at second. Hank Bauer has been put on the third spot. Of course, he swung a big bat on the series. Mickey Mantle is batting cleanup. Elston Howard is catching. Now, Elston is still a bit troubled with an injured knee, which he hit up against the fence in Milwaukee. He has his left knee bandaged. However, he is in there. Manager Casey Stengel says that if it gives Howard difficulty in catching and crouching, he may have to put Vera in that spot. And there's also a possibility of Vera playing another spot before the afternoon is over. Bill Scourin at first base. And he bears note as well because Bill was hit on the left wrist by that Covington smash yesterday. And Bill is playing with a bruised wrist, his left wrist. It's black and blue. Bobby Richardson, a fine defensive player, is at third base, very adept on picking up bunts. Kubek is at short, and Whitey Ford is pitching. Now the public address announcer here in New York, Bob Shepard, has asked the crowd to stand as the Marine Color Guard raises the flag. So let us listen.
Under the direction of Chief Petty Officer Patrick J. Austin, will accompany Miss Lucy Monroe in our national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lucy Monroe.
Slight delay, and one reason may be that as I look out there, I do not see the flag at the moment. However, it may be beyond the band, which is master in center field. However, there is a slight delay before the rendition of the national anthem, which will be coming up in just a moment. The crowd here in New York, another capacity crowd, is on its feet. And now there has been adjustment of the microphone in front of the band, and perhaps that's what we were waiting for, as Miss Lucy Monroe now appears ready, and the crowd is waiting for her rendition. So we should be getting the anthem in just a moment, although, as you have heard, it has not come forth as yet. While we have just this moment, I might tell you that Yogi Berra, who is out of the series, is missing the start of a ball game, which is rather unique for Yogi. It may be that the public address system is not working at the moment. And that may be the reason, occasion for the delay. The flag is now going up. Difficulties with the amplification system, but once adjusted, things got underway just right. And now, we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. If you want real Vichy...
Get the yellow label, yellow label, yellow label, yellow label.
Get the Vichy with a bright yellow label, Saratoga Vichy.
Now we're getting set for baseball here in New York City. The Yankees have taken the field defensively. Incidentally, Yogi Berra has started 50 straight series games as a catcher for the Yankees in series play, dating back to the second game of the 49th set against the Dodgers. But he is not in the starting lineup this afternoon, although certainly he gives the Yankees much-needed strength on that bench there if the occasion demands. And now... there's a public address... announcement of a change, a last-minute change in the Yankee lineup. There is a change, just announced prior to play ball in the original lineup, which was posted by manager Casey Stengel in the Yankee dugout. The change has just been announced, and so Berra's streak remains intact. Scarron will be batting in the number five spot, which had been occupied by Elston Howard. Bill moves up from the number six position, and Yogi Berra will be in there doing the catching, and he'll be batting sixth. So Elston Howard, who was having a bit of knee trouble, is out of the lineup. And as soon as we get more facts in that relayed up from down below, we'll pass them on to you. But right now, the big thing is the baseball game coming up, and we're all set for action. jumping up to the microphone, one of the nation's finest, the voice of the Milwaukee Braves, Earl Gillespie. Earl?
Thank you very much, Bob Wolf, and good afternoon, everybody. And as this game is about to get underway, the sun breaks through, the temperature is 62 degrees, and the guy with the ice water in his veins, left-hander Whitey Ford, is all set for manager Casey Stengel's New York Yankees. In the batter's box, the leadoff man for the National League champion Milwaukee Braves, the switch-hitting second baseman Red Shandings. The wind-up by Ford, first pitch, a swing of ground ball to the shortstop. Over is Kubek, up the throw to first base, he is up, that's one away. So Shandings batting at 308 in the series. Goes after Whitey Ford's first pitch, hits the ground ball to Tony Kubek. Kubek over to Bill Scourin, and that's one out. Brings up the shortstop, Johnny Logan. Whitey Ford making his second appearance, second start in the series. Did not figure in the decision in the opening game against Warren Spahn, who was the winner in 10 innings, 4-3 over Ryan Doran. Logan, a right-handed batter, and he takes quick one on the inside corner. John Flaherty of the American League is calling the balls and strikes. Al Barrick of the National League at first. Charlie Berry of the American League at second base. Tom Gorman of the National League at third base. Ford delivers. The pitch is outside. And it's ball one and strike one. Down the left field line, the man in blue down there is the National League's Bill Joukowsky. And down the right field line, it is Frank Yumont. Here is the windup by Whitey Ford. The pitch is a curve strike and a beauty. Ball one and a strike two count on Johnny Logan. Logan has been up 11 times in the series, has two base hits, batting at 182. He takes the ball in the dirt, and it's ball two, strike two. Casey Stengel was quite concerned about the knee condition of Elston Howard, who crashed into the wall in the first game of the series at Milwaukee County Stadium, into the fence, and banged up his left knee, and that most likely is why he's making that last-second change with Bauer, or rather, with Farah behind the plate. Pitch is swung on, a line shot foul past Billy Herman coaching in third. Incidentally, at first base for manager Fred Haney this afternoon in the coaching box is one of the great pitching coaches in the National League, Whitnall Wyatt, replacing Johnny Fitzpatrick, who is confined to his hotel room here in New York City with a severe cold. The windup by the left-hander, Whitey Ford, 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a ground ball to the shortstop, Kubek. Up, throw to first base. He is out, and that's two away. Two up, two down on the first. As Tony Kubek has handled both hitters, Shandings and Logan, and it brings up the third baseman, Eddie Matthews. Eddie has been up 11 times with two base hits, batting 182, one double, and two runs batted in. Matthews, in his 11 times at bat, has gone down on strike seven times. And Ford's first pitch is too low, and that's ball one and no strikes. The wind today is strong here in New York City, but it doesn't have too much effect on baseballs in flight behind the Triple Deck Stadium. It is blowing out of the southwest at 20 miles an hour. Here is the pitch, and there's a curve strike. Even the count at ball one and strike one, and a ripple of applause. And now, as the applause gains, we notice once again that one of the great catchers in the history of the National League, Roy Campanella, is going to see his second ball game here in New York City, moving into the box seats. A strike is called on Matthews. Outside corner knee high, and it's ball one and strike two. One and two the count. Eddie Matthews in the batter's box. Henry Aaron is on deck. Two outs, nobody on base. Top half of the first inning. Whitey Ford, who this year won 14 ball games, lost seven, and had a brilliant earned run average, 2.01. Fires strike three, and Matthews is called out. And that is the eighth time in the series that Eddie Matthews has gone down on strike. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base. And the score, as the Yankees come into bat in the last half of the first inning, is Milwaukee nothing, the New York Yankees nothing. Boy, did those bleacher seats sell out in a hurry today. And the supply of Gillette World Series Special is going fast, too. Now, here's a bargain that's really caught on. 79 cents gets you a modern Gillette one-piece TV razor, a dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, plus a handsome styrene travel case. The Gillette TV razor is a finely balanced, precisely made instrument. Just a turn of the handle, and you change blades instantly. Clean in a flash. You save money on blades, too. The Gillette TV razor is double-edged for double economy. But most important, you're in for clean, comfortable shaves, good-looking shaves that last far longer. That's guaranteed by Gillette, whether you're a beginning shaver or have been at it for years. So, get a Gillette TV razor set now. At the money-saving price of just 79 cents, they won't last long. In the last half of the first inning, the New York Yankees will send up Norm Seaborn, Joe McDougal, and Hank Bauer, first three men to face southpaw Warren Spahn. In the outfield for the Braves here at Yankee Stadium, it is Wes Covington in left, Henry Aaron in center field, and Andy Papko in right. Seaborn, a left-handed batter, has been up five times. He has one base hit, hitting at 200, and the first pitch is low and outside. That's ball one. In the infield for Milwaukee, Eddie Matthews at third, Logan at short, Shane Deans at second base, and Joe Adcock at first base. Del Crandall behind the plate, and Warren Spahn is on the mound. Warren Spahn, who has won 246 ball games in his brilliant Major League career, kicks and delivers a strike on the inside corner. Evens up the count, ball one and strike one. Milwaukee, three up and three down on the top half of the first inning. Ralph Houck is coaching at first base, and it's Frank Crosetti at third base. Spahn's pitch, Seaborn swings, misses, strike two, and it's one and two on Norm. Boy, those heavy clouds that gave us quite a scare around the batting cage around 11 o'clock this morning have disappeared completely. We have blue skies overhead, and the temperature right now is 62 degrees. Ball one and strike two on Seaborn with Gil McDougal in the on-deck circle. Spahn's pitch is swung on, fouled. Back into the screen, it's ball one and strike two. Warren Spahn, who in World Series action has won three and lost two against the New York Yankees in the last two World Series, 1957 and here in 1958, has won two and he has lost one. His other victory and his other loss came against the Cleveland Indians back in 1948 when the Braves were then in Boston. Ball one, strike two. The left-hander delivers. The curve is just outside, and it's ball two. Ball two, strike two. Spahn has been throwing baseballs for a living for a long time now, dating back 18 years when he began his baseball career in 1940 in Class D. Worked himself up the ladder. 2-2 pitch, and Norm Seaborn was going to swing. He managed to hold back, and Del Crandall didn't like that at all. Del is ready to fire the ball down to third baseman Eddie Matthews, and now Del is talking with umpire John Flaherty. Full count, 3-2. The outfield is playing Seaborn about straight away. Ball three and a strike two count. Warren Spahn pitch to Seaborn. Here's a swing of foul. Back into the screen. Still 3-2 on this left-handed hitter, left fielder Norm Seaborn, who is looking for a second base hit in this ball classic. 1-for-5, batting at 200. No extra base hits, no RBIs. Spahn has his sign, and the 3-2 pitch, and it's 4-4. So Spahn gives up his first walk, and it puts a Yankee on first base with nobody out. In the 10-inning thriller in the first game of the series, Spahn, who went the distance, walked four Yankees in 10 innings, struck out six, about eight hits, and three earned runs, and his earned run average going into the second ball game for the series is 2.70. On the season, it was 3.07 as he chalked up 22 victories against 11 defeats. 37-year-old southpaw facing a right-handed batter, Gil McDougal, and the pitch to Gil is outside, ball one. McDougal's been up 10 times, and he has three hits, batting at 300. Ball one, no strikes. Spahn stands 6 foot even out there on the mound. He weighs 175 pounds. Watches the runner on first base, kicks and delivers. The pitch is bunted. They pop foul on the third base line, no chance. Matthews digging hard, coming across the foul line. Crandall moving down towards third base. Neither had a chance for that pop foul as the Yankees tried to move Seaborn in the second base in scoring position on a sacrifice, and it's ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one count. The right fielder, Hank Bauer, on deck. And he has struck terror into the hearts of Milwaukee pitchers in this series. Ball one and strike one the count. On McDougald, the outfield shaded around to the right as Gill swings and rolls one foul. Down the right field line. And Spahn moves out in front of the Yankee second baseman. Ball one, strike two. Ball one and strike two the count. Runner on first base, the leadoff man, Norm Seaburn, who walked on a 3-2 pitch. Takes his lead. Spahn's 1-2 pitch. McDougal swings, misses. Strike three. Struck him out. And that is strikeout number one for Warren Spahn. Here's a tremendous hand for a guy who's been a really great competitor, Hank Bauer. As Bauer moves into the batter's box, he is trying to extend his own personal record in World Series action. A record that stands alone. He has hit safely in 17 consecutive ball games. In this series, he has 7 for 13, batting at .538. 3 homers and 7 RBIs. Swung right-handed batter, takes outside. Ball one and no strike. He was leading off for Casey Stengel in the first 3 games, and on each occasion, each start, he belted a base hit. Now he's batting in the number 3 spot. Runner on first base and one man out, no score. Last half of the first inning, the pitch is swung on, a high infield fly. Joe Adcock towards the mound. The big guy makes the catch, and it's two away. So Hank Bauer pops off to Joe Adcock. And here is center fielder Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was flanked by Warren Spahn in the opening game. But in the next game against Luberdett, he walloped a couple of home runs. Now, Mickey, who will bat right-handed against the left-hander, has 2 hits and 8 times at bat, hitting .250, takes strike one on the inside corner knee high, his 2 hits, home runs, and he has driven in 3 runs. Mickey Mantle, a runner on first base, 2 outs. Last half of the first, Bond's pitch is in too close, and it's even, ball one and strike one. It has just been learned up here in our radio booth that Howard, Elston Howard, is okay for action today, but Casey Stengel has just decided on a last-minute change with Yogi Berra moving behind the plate. 1-1 pitch. Mantle swings at the ground ball to the shortstop's left. Logan over, grabs the ball, throws the second. Force play retires the side. A force play at second base. Logan is fainting for the force on Seaburn. And for the last half of the first inning, no runs, no hits, no errors. One man was left on base. And at the end of the first inning, the score is the Yankees nothing, the Braves nothing.
Hello there, everybody. I'm Mal Allen with a giant offer from Papermate that tops them all. Listen, how'd you like a genuine Papermate pen free? How'd you like a genuine Papermate refill free? Sound good? Well, that's exactly what you get. Free pen, free refill. When you buy Papermate's famous two-tone pen at the regular $1.69 price. What a bargain. As it says right on the special Papermate display, you get a two-tone pen worth $1.69, plus an extra silver-tip refill worth 49 cents, plus a retractable Schoolmate utility pen worth 39 cents. A $2.57 value. All three for only $1.69. How about that? A $2.57 value for only $1.69. Look for the special Papermate display at stores everywhere. Buy your two-tone pen at regular price, get an extra pen, an extra refill, free from Papermate. This sensational offer is limited. So hurry and get your free Papermate pen and free refill now.
Leading off for Milwaukee in the top half of the second is their sparkling center fielder, Henry Aaron, who so far in the series has not found the home run range. Last year, he hit 3 homers against the Yankees. He's had 3 hits in 11 times at bat, hitting a .273, 1 double, and no runs battled in. Aaron, Adcock, and Crandall to face Whitey Ford, and a fast strike is called on the outside corner knee high. It isn't very often that a fella gets a chance to pitch in his hometown, but Whitey Ford was born right here in New York City. A short, stocky left-hander who's got a good fastball and a brilliant curve. Here's a ground ball that is a foul ball down the first baseline. Strike two on Aaron. Ford, in his lifetime, has chalked up 105 wins in 7 years for New York, has lost only 40 ball games, and never has he gone over 8 losses in his career. And in a World Series action. Whitey has won five and he has lost three. And as Bob Wolf mentioned, all five victories have taken place here at Yankee Stadium in the Fall Classic. Henry Aaron, strike two count. Outfield shaded slightly towards left as the pitch is a curve that breaks low and it's ball one and strike two. On deck is first baseman Joe Adcock. The infield is playing deep, and the second baseman, Gil McDougal, is back on the edge of the outfield grass, lined up with right center field. We have Bobby Richardson starting at third base today for Casey Stengel. Ball one and strike two. Here is the windup by Ford. The pitch is a curve low, and it's ball two. Looking down at Bill Scowen reminds me that his left wrist was quite a bit discolored today. He took that hard smash off the bat of Wes Covington on the wrist, and it caromed over into foul territory in yesterday's ballgame. Ball two and strike two on Henry Aaron, leading off in the second. Aaron steps out of the batter's box for a second. Back in, levels the bat across the plate, watching the left-hander Ford. Whitey's 2-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Henry Aaron chased that fine curveball of Whitey Ford. And that's strikeout number two for the Yankee left-hander. And that is his 10th strikeout in the series in 8 1/3 innings. So Ford has been throwing that strikeout pitch with regularity against these bright hitters. First baseman Joe Adcock in the batter's box. Joe is making his second start. He opened against Whitey Ford at first base, had two hits and five times at bat, hitting at 400. Both singles. And the pitch is swung on a ground ball right back towards the mound. Ford waiting, picks it up, throws to first, gets his man, and that's two away. Whitey that time charged down on the ball, realized there was a lot of spin on it, a lot of English, and he waited, made sure of that hop, and then threw over to first baseman Bill Scullin. Two men are out. Here is catcher Del Crandall. Crandall hitting at 273 with 3-for-11. Has driven across two Braves runs. The Yankees lead the Braves in the series in home runs, 6-2. A swing and a foul behind the plate rolls out in front of Yogi Berra. Strike one count. So the vaunted Braves power has not exploded as yet against Yankee pitching. Even in that big ball game where the Braves won 13-5, it wasn't the regular home run hitters who were coming through. It was Billy Bruton and Lou Burdett who belted Milwaukee's only two home runs. Here's the pitch to Crandall. Del takes the ball. It's blown outside. It's ball one and strike one. On deck is the left fielder, Wes Covington. No score. Top half of the second. Fourth game of the series. Braves lead. Two victories to the Yankees, one. There's a swing and a hard hit ball left center field. Base hit. And that is hit number one off Whitey Ford as Mickey Mantle throws the ball back into the shortstop, Tony Kubek. First base hit of the ball game. And Crandall's on first base with two outs as the left fielder, Wes Covington, steps in. Wes with 4-for-11, batting 364. Here's a fellow with great power, and as yet in the series, he has not come up with an extra base hit. He has driven in three runs, though. Batting now with two outs, a runner on first base. Ford's first pitch is a curve, and Wes was going to swing, but managed to hold that bat back. As the pitch breaks low and outside, it's ball one and no strike. Ball one, no strike count. Whitey Ford, 29 years old, will, by the way, be 30 on October the 21st. A couple of weeks. Crandall leads off first base. He's going. Here's a swing and a foul. Crandall was on the run, breaking from first base as West cut hard. Covington just managed to get a piece of that ball, and it's even at ball one and strike one. Another wonderful crowd here at Yankee Stadium this afternoon. Yesterday's crowd for the first game of the series here in New York was 71,599. And now in the three games, a total of 164,333. Runner on first base, two outs. Ford's next pitch is a swing of it, quick two. Ball one and strike two. Wes Covington, with that solid build he has, was quite a football prospect during his high school days, but decided on a baseball career, just like the Yankee first baseman Bill Scourin. There's a swing of ground ball to the second baseman. Over is McDougal, over to first base. He is out, and that retires the side. In the second, no runs, one hit, no errors, one left. And the score is still Milwaukee nothing, and the Yankees nothing. In yesterday's game, Hank Bauer's four runs batted in was the really big news. But all series long, the big shaving news is Gillette's wonderful offer of a one-piece TV razor for only 79 cents. Talk about value. Here's what that 79 cents buys. A modern Gillette TV razor, plus a dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, and a streamlined travel case. Now's the time to replace your old razor with a modern Gillette. Made in one piece, blade changing and cleaning is fast and easy. Double edges mean greater blade economy. And to top it off, you get peak shaving comfort. Clean, refreshing shaves that give you a real lift. So make up your mind to get in on this shaving bargain. The Gillette TV razor is selling fast, and the supply is limited. Right after today's game, drop in at a nearby store and ask for Gillette's World Series Special. A $1 value, the Gillette TV razor, dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, and handy travel case cost only 79 cents. They have come up with the announcement now on tomorrow's pitchers. We had Lou Burdette from manager Fred Haney, but Casey Stengel had not named his starter, and he just named him. It'll be Burdette against Bob Turley. Same two fellows who worked against each other in the second ball game at Milwaukee. Bill Scourin, right-handed batter, takes the first pitch from Warren Spahn, low outside, and it's ball one and no strikes. Scourin, with two hits and 12 times at bat, has one homer and one run batted in. He's batting 167. Outfield is playing him, shaded around towards left and deep. The pitch cut on, foul tip. Ball one, strike one. Scourin had his home run off Warren Spahn in the first ball game, and off Spahn he had two hits and four times at bat. So he's been blanked by Burdette and Rush in the other two ball games. Pitches a strike called, inside corner, belt high, and Scourin steps out of the batter's box. He was quite concerned about his wrist, which was hit by that hard smash off the bat of Covington, and was testing it carefully in the batting cage when the Yankees were taking their batting practice. Here's a swing on a roller foul down the first base side. It's ball one and strike two. Ball one and strike two. Bond takes his time, has a sign, he's out in front. Here's the one and two pitch, and it's a little high, ball two. Even count on Bill Scourin. Ball two, strike two, with Yogi Berra on deck, and Berra will be followed by Bobby Richardson. Frank Crisetti was pacing up and down in the third base coaching box. 2-2 pitch. There's a swing and a hard hit ball to the shortstop, Logan, down to one knee, up over to first base. Scourin's out of there. And he lunged on that last step trying to beat the throw from Johnny Logan. Logan to Adcock. It's one away, and it brings up the catcher, Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra has two hits and 12 times at bat, hitting 167. One double, no RBIs. A left-handed batter facing southpaw Warren Spahn. The curveball breaks low below the knees. Ball one and no strikes. No score. Last half of the second. It wasn't until the fifth inning yesterday that a team managed to score, and the Yankees came across with two in the last half of the fifth. There is a strike. Ball one, strike one. Berra stands with feet close together. Stocky built left-handed batter, and Spahn's pitch is swung on, a hard smash to Joe Adcock, picks it up, beats into the bag by 15 steps, and it's two away. Berra hit a hard shot, but right at Joe Adcock. Two men are out. Sometimes the difference between a fella hitting 300 and 295 or 290 are those hard shots right at somebody. And just 4 or 5 feet either way, and they'd be in for a base hit. Bobby Richardson making his first start in the series at third base. He's been up twice. He has no hits in two trips. And the first pitch is a call strike on Bob. No ball, one strike down. Richardson, right-handed batter, swings, hits a high foul, first base side, that's going to be out of play. And Spahn moves out in front of the Yankee batter, strike two. Richardson, who stands 5'9", weighs 164 pounds, is only 23 years old. He's a fellow from Sumter, South Carolina, still lives down that way. Two men are out. Nobody on base, the last half of the second. And now Richardson steps out of the batter's box. Just for a second, umpire John Flaherty behind the plate holding up his hand, calling it time. Here's the pitch. It's in too close, and it's ball one, strike two. One or two the count. We are getting cloud formations overhead now. But they are not as dangerous looking as the clouds we had around Yankee Stadium this morning. The one and two pitch is cut on and fouled off to the right of the plate. One and two on Richardson with a shortstop, Tony Kubek, in the on-deck circle. Three of the Yankees in the lineup are still looking for their first base hits of the series. Richardson 0 for 2. Kubek is 0 for 11. And, of course, Whitey Ford is 0 for 2. There's a swing and a fly ball to deep left center field. Fairly deep, going around as Wes Covington coming in now. And he makes the catch for the out. Richardson flies to Wes Covington around towards left center field. And the Yankees, in the second, are three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base. And at the end of the second inning, the score is New York nothing, Milwaukee nothing.
Hurry and get your Gillette TV razor. Just 79 cents, man, what a buy. It will tell you it's in short supply. So hurry and get your Gillette TV razor. So get one fast and be in luck. Just 79 cents instead of a buck.
In the top half of the third for Milwaukee, Andy Papko will lead off. He'll be followed by Warren Spahn and then Red Shandy. Incidentally, of interest, I think, a sidelight to the starting right fielders today. Going back a long, long time, Andy Papko, in the beginning of his baseball career, and Hank Bauer played against each other in Class D ball back in 1941. So they've been at it a long time. Papko waiting as Ford's first pitch is cut on. A ground ball to the second baseman's left. Gil McDougal scoops it up over the first base. Papko's out of there, and it's one away. McDougal's second assist. He tossed out Covington in the second. And it brings up the pitcher, Warren Spahn. Spahn helped his own cause immensely in the first game, getting two hits and driving in a run off Whitey Ford. Had two for four, so he's batting 500. Right hand for Warren Spahn as he moves around behind home plate. He's a native of the state of New York. Born in Buffalo, but a high school athlete in Buffalo, now lives in Hartshorne, Oklahoma, where he does a bit of ranching during the offseason. Left-handed batter, and he takes a strike on the outside corner. No ball, one strike count. The Braves batting in the top of the third, no score. Milwaukee has one hit, a single by Del Crandall. The Yankees have no hits. Pitch is 2-0. Evens the count on Spahn at ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one. The Yankee outfield is just about straight away for this left-handed batting pitcher. Curve strike called, one and two. Ball one, strike two. The infield is about straight away also for Spahn, with the second baseman McDougal playing extremely deep. And here's a ball that's low. As Spahn was going to swing, he held up, and it's ball two and strike two. Ball two, strike two on Warren Spahn with one out, nobody on base. Braves batting in the third. No score. Fourth game of the series. Braves leading 2-1 in victories. Here's a swing and a miss. He struck him out, and for Whitey Ford, that is his third strikeout. And Ford now has 11 strikeouts in the series. Two-way, the batter, second baseman, Reg Feindy. Two on, Warren Spahn with one out, nobody on base. Braves batting in the third. No score. Fourth game of the series. Braves leading 2-1 in victories. Here's a swing and a miss. He struck him out, and for Whitey Ford, that is his third strikeout. And Ford now has 11 strikeouts in the series. Two-way, the batter, second baseman, Reg Feindings, to win after Ford's first pitch and grounded out to the shortstop, Tony Kubek, back in the first inning. Curve is too low, ball one. Ball one, no strikes. Whitey Ford looking for his second victory over Milwaukee in World Series action. Comes down with a pitch, and it's in there for a call strike. It's ball one and strike one. Against the Braves in the 1957 series, Whitey lost one, and he won one. He lost a real tough one, losing to Lou Burdett 1-0 in the fifth game of the series at Milwaukee. He beat Warren Spahn in the opening game last year, 3-1 here at Yankee Stadium. A 1-1 pitch. Outside, ball two. Ford has not walked anybody as yet. Only one base runner for the Braves. That was Crandall in the second. He lined a single to left center field, giving him four hits and 12 times at bat. Ball two and a strike one count on Shandings, batting right-handed against the left-hander. Here's a swing and a high foul, first base side, that's out of play. Ball two and strike two. Ball two and a strike two count. On deck is shortstop Johnny Logan. Ford bearing down, kicks up his right leg and delivers. There's a swing and a chop off the plate. The shortstop in fast. It's going to be close. He is out at first base. Tony Kubek, the Bill Scowler. Three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left. And the score is Milwaukee nothing, the Yankees nothing. Well, these umpires have been doing a fine job in this series. John Flaherty behind the plate has been calling a very sharp game. Casey Stengel's been on a couple of times, though, on discussions with the boys in blue. But fans, for my money, there's no argument that the biggest shaving value in years is the Gillette World Series Special. A Gillette one-piece TV razor set at only 79 cents. Now listen to what you get for just 79 cents. A modern Gillette TV razor. Plus a dispenser of Gillette blue blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Plus a compact styrene travel case. What a deal. But move fast because the supply is limited. Save money and get wonderful, refreshing shaves. Clean feeling, good looking shaves with plenty of comfort. Convenient too. The Gillette TV razor is a precision engineered one-piece razor. You change blades in a flash, clean with a rinse. Man, what a value. While they last, the Gillette TV razor, dispenser of Gillette blue blades, travel case, everything, just 79 cents. Tony Kubek leads off for the Yankees in the last half of the third. Kubek is in search of his first base hit of the series. He has gone hitless in 11 times at bat. Left-handed batter, and he takes Bond's first pitch for a called strike. Kubek, who was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the second World Series with the Yankees. 0-1 pitch. Here's a swing and a fly ball left center field. Aaron going over, calling for the ball. Backing up, makes the catch. And that is one away. So Tony now is 0-12. Brings up the pitcher, Whitey Ford. Had a chance to watch Whitey Ford taking batting practice when the Yankees were hitting today. And he swings that bat pretty good. He was hitless in the opener, so he's 0-2. One out, nobody on base. We're in the last half of the third, no score, and Spahn's first pitch is right down the alley for a called strike one. Yankees in search of their first base hit off Spahn, while Milwaukee has only one hit off Whitey Ford. scoreless ball game. Curve outside. It's ball one and strike one. Ball one and strike one. This Warren Spahn's an amazing guy when you see him down in spring training year after year. Left-hander's ready and delivers, and it's too low, ball two. Many of the young pitchers who get their first look at Spahn the first week of spring training get sore arms just watching him work out. Spahn is from the old school. He believes that down in spring training, as far as he's concerned, the best thing for him to do is to start throwing hard right away. And if any soreness develops, he can work it out. And that's just what he does. He says, give me that baseball. He starts really barreling that fastball in there. There's a curve high. Ball three and strike one on Whitey Ford. Ball three and a strike one count. A walk to Ford in the first game got Spahn in a lot of trouble. Here is the 3-1 pitch. Ball four. In the first game, he walked Ford in the fifth inning. And Bauer followed with a two-run homer. So Whitey Ford becomes the second New York base runner. Seaburn walked in the first inning. Now here is Norm Seaburn standing outside the batter's box. As the veteran southpaw, the ace of the Braves pitching staff, Warren Spahn, has just issued his second free ride. And it's Whitey Ford on first with one out. Norm Seaburn, a left-handed batter, gingerly steps into the batter's box. Now he starts digging in with the left foot, watching Spahn as he looks over the runner on first base. Here is the pitch, and there is strike one on the inside corner, held high. That wind is still whipping up towards right field here at Yankee Stadium. The estimated crowd today is 72,000. Pitch to Seaburn, a swing of ground ball to the second baseman's left over. The peg to second base in time and a gamble by Red Shandy. The redhead roaming far to his left. And he made two beauties yesterday. Gambled on Ford going into second base and not being the fastest guy in the Yankee squad. Threw hard to Johnny Logan for the force on Whitey. And that is the second out. So Shandy kept that runner from going into second base and moving into scoring position on a heads-up play. Two men are out. Second baseman Gil McDougal struck out in the first inning. Right-handed batter. First pitch, Gil swings at the ground ball right back to Warren Spahn. Over to first base. He is out, retiring the side. In the third, no runs, no hits, no errors. One was left. And the score at the end of the third inning is the Yankees nothing, Milwaukee nothing. Identification.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. When you shop for a mixer, remember, Saratoga Vichy is the real Vichy. The Saratoga Vichy Company does not make Vichy, they bottle it right from the pure waters of the Vichy Spring.
Get the yellow label, yellow label, yellow label, yellow label.
Get the yellow label. Saratoga Vichy, the real Vichy. Folks, prepare for the dangerous winter driving ahead. Buy safe Goodyear Suburbanite winter tires with a lifetime guarantee. From Albert E. Oliver, Incorporated, Albany, New York.
For the Braves, no runs, one hit, no errors. The Yankees, no runs, no hits, and no errors. Whitey Ford against Warren Spahn, a battle of southpaws, and as was anticipated, it's a beauty so far. Johnny Logan, a leadoff for Milwaukee in the top half of the fourth, and he'll be followed by Eddie Matthews and Henry Aaron. Roy Campanella, the seriously injured former Dodger star who's down here in the box seats watching the ballgame right behind home plate. He is writing a series of articles for a chain of newspapers, and it was very interesting reading Roy's account of yesterday's game because that was his first appearance at a ballgame since he was in that tragic accident last winter. Johnny Logan, a right-handed batter, thrown out by shortstop Tony Kubek in the first inning. Swings, it's a high foul down the first plate side. Bill Scowen drifting over in foul territory and he makes the catch. Logan on the first pitch fouls out to Bill Skowron. Milwaukee has managed to hit the ball out of the infield only once off Whitey Ford in 3 3rd innings. That was Crandall's single to left center field. The Yankees have hit 2 balls out of the infield off Warren Spahn, Richardson, and Kubek flying out. Eddie Matthews called out on strikes in the first inning. A left-handed batter, and he takes strike one on the outside corner. Eddie trying to break out of the slump here in the series has gone down on strikes 8 times in 12 times at bat. Top half of the fourth inning, no score. In a fast-moving ball game, here's the pitch. There's a swing and a high infield fly. Going back in the short center field is Tony Kubek and Gil McDougall. And look out now. McDougall makes the catch right alongside Kubek for the second out. Brings up the center fielder, Henry Aaron, who struck out in the second. Well, the wind is kind of treacherous here in Yankee Stadium, and Kubek kept drifting back along with Gil McDougall, and finally Gil called, and he had it, and he made the catch. Ford's first pitch to Aaron is high, a fastball, ball one, no strikes. Ball one and no strikes to count. First baseman Joe Adcock is on deck. Neither team has threatened in the ballgame. Here's a swing and a hard shot. Face hit down the left field line. Mike goes for two. Seaburn charging the ball. Picks it up. Aaron's on his way to second. Here comes the throw. He is safe at second base. Henry Aaron smashing a shot just inside the bag that charmed off the box seat fence in foul territory after it's about 30 feet down the line. Turned out towards Norm Seaburn, who charged hard. Came up and fired to Gil McDougall, but not in time as Aaron went in standing at second with a double. Brings up Joe Adcock and Casey Stengel is out talking to John Flaherty behind the plate. That was a hard smash very close to the bag, and Casey might have been checking on it. So there is hit number two off Whitey Ford. Milwaukee moved the man to the scoring position for the first time today as Aaron becomes the first play to reach second base. 2 men are out. Joe Adcock, right-handed batter, throw in the second base. He is back in time in a very close play. That looked like a countdown-type play to Gil McDougall. A time play, and Ford wheeled and fired to Gil. And Aaron was forced to slide hard back into second base. Joe Adcock thrown out by Ford in the second. Here is the pitch. Low and outside, and it's ball one and no strikes. Ball one, no strike count on Joe Adcock. Joe with a chance to give Milwaukee the lead in the top half of the fourth inning. Into the stretch goes Ford. The pitch, a swing and a foul, rolls out on the third territory. Down the third base side, it's even up on Adcock at ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one. Joe Adcock, who attended Louisiana State University, lives in Coushatta, Louisiana during the offseason. He's big, 225 pounds, 6'4", and tremendous power. Ball one, strike one count. Aaron takes the lead off second base. Ford looks back, delivers. A swing and a roller down the first baseline, foul picked up by Whitlow Wyatt, who has replaced Johnny Fitzpatrick today in the first base coaching box for Fred Haney. Fitzpatrick, who is back in his hotel room, confined to the room with a very severe cold. Ball one and strike two. On deck is catcher Del Crandall, who has the other base hit off Whitey Ford, a single in the second. The This is a big ball game for both teams. A Milwaukee victory would give the Braves a 3-1 edge in the series. A Yankee victory would tie the series at 2-2. Every pitch and every play means so very much. Whitey Ford into the stretch, takes his time, delivers, gets away from the catcher, bouncing into the crowd. And here is Aaron moving around to third base. And that is a wild pitch. Charged to Whitey Ford, moving Aaron to third. And the count is even on Joe Adcock, ball two, strike two. That pitch was in the dirt, churned up off the equipment of Yogi Berra and bounced into the stands on the third base side. So now Milwaukee has a runner on third base. Two men are out. Joe Adcock trying for a mighty important base hit. Adcock's bat beat Whitey Ford 1-0 last year as he singled across the only run of the ballgame, Burdette winning 1-0. Joe single to right field. Here's the windup and the 2-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Strikeout number four and a mighty big one for Whitey Ford. No runs and one hit. No errors. One man was left on base. The score remains Milwaukee nothing and the Yankees nothing. Yesterday, Don Larson and Ryan Duren combined to hand Milwaukee their first shutout in World Series play. Big news? You bet. And the big news from Gillette is their sensational World Series special is going fast. Small wonder. A Gillette one-piece TV razor for only 79 cents. So act now. Don't miss out on this terrific deal. Here's what your 79 cents buys. The modern Gillette TV razor, a dispenser of easy shaving Gillette blue blades, and a sturdy compact travel case. There's a real buy for you. You're guaranteed clean, clean shaves. Comfortable shaves that are fast and easy. Convenient? Sure. Made in one piece, blade changing is a snap, and cleaning takes but a rinse. Double edge, you get twice as many shaves per blade, save both time and money. How about that? The biggest shaving bargain in years. All yours, as long as the supply lasts, for just 79 cents. 79 cents for the razor, a dispenser of Gillette blue blades, and good-looking travel case. In the last half of the fourth inning, Hank Bauer leads off of the New York Yankees. Hank popped out to Joe Adcock in the first inning. A right-handed batter, and Spahn's first pitch is in there for a call strike one. The Yankees send up Bauer, Mantle, and Skowron to face Warren Spahn in the last half of the fourth. No score. Bauer, who drove in all four runs yesterday in the Yankees' brilliant 4-0 victory over Milwaukee. Here's a ball that's low, and it's ball one and strike one. Bauer, who has a 17-game hitting streak, riding into this ballgame in World Series action. Nobody on base and nobody out. Milwaukee's outfield is playing him deep to the left, and Bauer swings at the ground ball to the shortstop, Logan over, picks it up, looks on the first base, and he is out by two steps. So Bauer is tossed out by Johnny Logan. This is the fourth game of the series, and these infielders have turned in some mighty fine jobs for both clubs, as there have been only two errors in the series, one by each team. Mickey Mantle, safe on the fielder's choice at first time up, takes Spahn's first pitch outside for a ball. Ball one and no strikes. Yankee half of the fourth inning and no score. First baseman Bill Skowron due to hit next. Here's a swing and a drive, deep left center field. That ball's going a long, long way. It is a off the wall. Here is Aaron chasing it down. His man around second base on his way to third. The break of the infield. He goes in standing with a tremendous triple. Mantle just hit a tremendous blast, a deep left center field, just to the left of the 457 mark, between 402 and 457, bounced off a scoreboard, way out behind Wes Covington. Aaron, who was moving in, angling in from center field, was forced to make the play on the ball as it bounced off the scoreboard, and relayed it quickly, as quick as he could, But that Mickey Mantle, who can really pick him up and lay him down, was perched on third base by the time the throw came in. Hit number one off Warren Spahn, and the Yankees threatened seriously in the last half of the fourth. Runner on third base, one out. Bill Scowen, the batter. Scowen grounded out his first time at bat. The infield playing in. The pitch is high. Take the third. He's back in time in a close play. Del Crandall whipping a strike down to Eddie Matthews. Milwaukee's infield playing in for a play at the plate. The outfield to the left for Bill Scowen, right-handed batter. Spahn has his sign. Kicks and delivers. A swing, a high foul off to the right. Moving up into the upper deck. Evens the count on Scowen at 1-1. Warren Spahn, who will have to call upon every bit of his experience in this tough situation. Working with a Yankee on third, Mickey Mantle with a booming triple. One man is out. Long fly ball or a base hit will score run for New York. No score. Last half of the fourth inning. Mantle takes his lead off third base. Warren Spahn hunts to the shoulders. Gets his sign from Crandall. Starts into the motion. Pitch. There's a swing and a chop out towards Spahn. He looks the runner back at third base. Throws the first. He's off. That's two away. Bill Scowen pops that ball right back to Warren Spahn. Came down off the mound. Looks Mickey Mantle back in the third base and fired a strike to Joe Adcock. Now there are two outs. Mickey Mantle still on third base. And the catcher, Yogi Berra, stands in the batter's box, waving the leaded bat around along with his game bat. It's up to Yogi Berra. A real campaigner in these World Series games. Yogi went out to Joe Adcock in the second inning on a hard hit ball. Left-handed batter facing southpaw Warren Spahn. The outfield to the right. The infield now with two outs has moved back, with the exception of Eddie Matthews, who's even with the bag at third base. The pitch swung on, a high foul. It's up in the upper deck, and it's strike one. High foul back behind the plate. Strike one count on Yogi Berra. The Yankees with the lead run in scoring position on third base, but there are two outs. A couple of seasoned veterans working against each other right now, Spahn and Yogi Berra. 0-1 pitch. Curve misses outside. It's ball one and strike one. Ball one and a strike one count. Shane Deans, giving himself a lot of room out there, has moved to the edge of the outfield grass at second. The outfield is playing around to the right. Adcock deep at first base. Spahn has a sign. The 1-1 pitch. A swing and a line drive. It is knocked down by Shane Deans over to first. He is out of a great play. Holy cow, what a play by Red Shane Deans and Joe Adcock. Beautiful leaping by Shane Deans. He knocked the ball down. It fell to his feet. He picked it up. Adcock was coming over to cover first base. He went back into that bag, jabbed at the bag, made a scoop up of a low throw as Barrow went diving head first in the first base. On a great play to retire the side. No run. One hit. No errors. One man was left on base, and at the end of the fourth inning, the score. The Yankees nothing, the Braves nothing.
Look sharp, see sharp, see sharp, and listen, mister. How are you fixed for play?
Do you have plenty?
How are you fixed for play?
You better check.
Please make sure you have enough, cause a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough. How are you fixed for blade?
You better look.
Gillette Blue Blade we need.
Let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. The yellow label is your only guarantee of getting real Vichy. Saratoga Vichy. If you want real Vichy,
get the yellow label, yellow label, yellow label, yellow label.
Insist on the famous yellow label that says Saratoga Vichy.
He leaped up, the ball was in his glove, dropped out of his glove at his feet. He reached down, and Adcock, who was moving to his right, broke back towards first base, and as he got back to the bag, he just jabbed at the bag with his foot as the throw by Shane Deans was low. He scooped it out of the dirt on a very clutch play as Barrow was sliding head first in the first, but they got him by an eyelash. And Spahn was out of trouble in the last half of the fourth. No score. We move on to the fifth inning. Milwaukee, no runs, two hits. The Yankees, no runs, one hit. Del Crandall leading off, swings and lines one foul down the left field line. It's strike one. Whoops! Umpire Bill Joukowsky down the left field line was going to play that ball right through his feet. Crandall has one of the two hits off Whitey Ford. He singled into center field in the second inning. It'll be Crandall, Covington, and Papko in the top half of the fifth, facing left-hander Whitey Ford. Ford kicks and delivers. Pitches a slick call on that sharp breaking curveball in the outside corner knee-high. Whitey taking his time. Here's the windup and the pitch. There's a swing and a fly ball foul up into the third deck here at Yankee Stadium on the right field side, and it's still strike two on Crandall. Del Crandall, who hails from Fullerton, California, and this year plans on making his home in Milwaukee during the offseason. Here's the 0-2 pitch. That's high, and it's ball one and strike two. Whitey Ford, who now lives in Glen Cove, New York, waiting for a baseball from Yogi Berra. Yankees talk it up in the infield. Richardson at third. Kubek at short. McDougal at second base. And Scowen at first. Ford standing motionless. Starts into the motion. The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. The left center field. Seaburn coming in on the run. And it's in for a base hit. Bouncing away. The backed up by Mickey Mantle. Here's Mickey's throw. A strike in the second base as Crandall holds it first. Seaburn came racing in that time. Went down on his knees as it looked like he was having trouble locating that ball. But he tried to come in for a shoestringer. Mickey Mantle backed it up beautifully. And Crandall's on first base with a second hit. Mickey just showed that he can fire that baseball. He threw a strike into Gil McDougal covering second base. Hit number three off Whitey Ford. The Braves have out-hit the Yankees 3-1. But Milwaukee out-hit New York yesterday 6-4, but still lost 4-0. Wes Covington grounded out to the second baseman McDougal in the second. Left-handed batter. The third baseman Richardson starts edging in. The pitch swung on and fouled. Back into the third deck, and we notice that the lights around home plate have been turned on here at Yankee Stadium. Strike one count on the left-handed batting Wes Covington. Wes in the series has 4-for-12, batting at .333. Del Crandall now has 5 hits in 13 times at bat. Outfield about straight away for Covington as Ford checks the runner. The pitch is, he tried to bunt the ball, missed it, and it's strike two. West trying to sacrifice, missed the pitch. Strike two count. Crandall has now taken the lead in base hits for the Braves with 5. Jumping out in front of Henry Aaron, who has 4. And Shane Deans, who has 4. And also Wes Covington with 4 World Series hits. Strike two count. The pitch is a curve low. It's ball one and strike two. One and two. As of yesterday, they turned on the lights here at Yankee Stadium about the same time as the shadows increase around home plate. Although we have, three-quarters of the sky overhead is blue and the sun is shining out around short and out in the outfield and left and center field. Here's a swing and a miss, and Covington wakes up. He tried to hold back on that swing, and that's strikeout number 5 for Ford. Brings up the right fielder, Andy Papko. Ford now has totaled 13 strikeouts in 11 and one-third innings against the Braves in the series. Papko swings, misses, strike one. No ball, one strike count. Andy Papko, right-handed batter with Del Crandall on first base and one out. Fifth inning, no score. Pitches duel between Whitey Ford and Warren Spahn. The pitch is too low. Even at ball one and strike one. Ball one and strike one. Bitterly fought game this fourth game of the series. The left-hander Ford checks the runner. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Papko swings and misses, and it's ball one and strike two. Andy has played with three National League clubs in his career, and with each of the three, he has appeared in World Series action with the Chicago Cubs in 1945. Then he moved over to the Brooklyn Dodgers and played in a series with the Dodgers, and then was sold to the Milwaukee Braves in 1953. The 1-2 pitch. Ball two. It's 2-0. 2-2. The word down from the official score is that it was a called third strike on Wes Covington, not a swinging third strike. Ball two and a strike two count. Runner on first base. There's a swing and a fly ball into deep right center field. Mickey Mantle going back, turning on the ball. He makes the catch. Deep right center field, fires the ball into the cutoff man, Tony Kubek, out behind second base. And Crandall moves back in the first. That ball was hit a long way, caught by Mickey Mantle in deep right center. Two men are out. And it brings up the pitcher, Warren Spahn. Spahn struck out in the third. Whitey Ford was checking in the Yankee dugout. Has his sign and goes to work. Here is strike one, a left-handed, or rather a curveball breaking away from the left-handed batter on the outside corner knee high. Strike one count. Braves catcher Del Crandall on first base has two of the three hits off Whitey Ford. 0-1 pitch, a swing and a miss as Spahn chased the curveball. It's strike two. Strike two count. Ford is ready, delivers, ball one outside. On deck is the leadoff man, second baseman Red Shaindienst. Whitey's out in front of his opponent today, Warren Spahn, ball one and strike two. Scourin is playing a couple of steps behind first base, but still holding Crandall close. Here's a swing and a miss. He struck him out, so he's high on the side. Six strikeouts for Whitey Ford. No runs and one hit. No errors. One man was left on base. And the score is Milwaukee nothing and the Yankees nothing.
No other way to shave to give you that mean feeling. Like a fresh up shave.
Refreshing and clean, yes, sir. And for speed and convenience, over 12 million men prefer those instant lather shaving creams. Gillette Foamy is one of their favorites. It's as convenient as they come. A press of the nozzle, and there you have it. Rich, full-bodied lather that holds a barrel of moisture against your beard. What's more, Gillette Foamy contains an extra K34, the antiseptic that destroys harmful bacteria while you shave. You can get Foamy, either regular or Menthol Cool, at a store near you. A 3-month supply costs only 79 cents. Why don't you give it a try? I think you'll like it.
Well, we go to the last half of the fifth inning, and as we get ready to switch microphones, we're going to give Bob Wolf the same kind of an assignment he gave us yesterday, as there's no score in the ball game. So all set for the conclusion of what should be a very exciting ball game. The voice of the Washington Senators, Mr. Bob Wolf.
Thank you, Earl Gillespie. Hi, everybody. That's right, at the halfway point yesterday, no score in the ball game. However, in the bottom half of the fifth in yesterday's encounter, the Yankees scored two. Here's Bobby Richardson leading off against Warren Spahn. Left-hander winds. First pitch to Bobby is swung on. There's a high pop-up going into short right field. Back goes Adcock, the first baseman, and he has it just inside the line. Richardson, out number one. And that brings up Tony Kubek, who's been up once in this game and has flied out to center field. He's looking for his first hit in the series. He'll be followed by the pitcher, Whitey Ford. Well, they said prior to play this afternoon that when you get two men like Spawn against Fort, you've got the ultimate in pitching. And so far, that has proved true. No score. Three hits by the Braves and one hit by New York. Now, Tony Kubek, a left-handed batter, in and waiting. Spawn looks in to get the sign from Crandall. Here's the windup, and the pitch on the way is high and inside for ball one. In a game such as this, one break can be the deciding factor. We've already seen a tremendous fielding play by Red Chaindienst, which prevented a Yankee run from scoring in the fourth. A windup by Spawn, and the pitch to Kubek is over for a called strike in the inside corner. Came in just below the belt, and the count now is 1-1 to Kubek. The Yankees' one hit was Mickey Mantle's blast out to deep left center up against the fence. Here's the pitch to Kubek. And there goes a liner right to Matthews for the out. That was a hard hit ball, and the third baseman Matthews took it head high. Didn't have to move. Two away in the bottom half of the fifth inning. As Whitey Ford comes up, he walked in the third. He draws a fine hand from the folks here in New York. Well, up to now, it's been a comparatively easy afternoon for the outfielders. The pitch to Ford is over for a called strike. The Yanks have only one hit off Spawn. They've hit only three balls to the outfield, including Mantle's triple. Spawn delivers, and Whitey watches as it breaks over for a called strike two. Ford is choked up slightly on the bat. Two strikes, the count to Ford. Spawn into the windup. Here's the pitch. And the curve comes in low this time. It's now ball one, strike two to Ford. We're in the bottom half of inning number five with no score this afternoon in this, a crucial game in the series. Spawn all ready to work. 1-2 to Ford. Here's the windup. The pitch on the way. There's a high foul which is drifting back toward the seats and going out of play. So the count holds at ball one, strike two to Ford, who, although not a top hitter in baseball, loves to get his licks up there and can do quite a few things with that bat. He's good at punching the ball out and occasionally gets pretty good wood on it. Here's the pitch, and he takes a curve for a called strike three. So that retires the side with three up and three down in this bottom half of the fifth inning. And the score at the end of five is Milwaukee nothing, New York nothing. As a public service, Gillette brings you this message. Traffic accidents continue to take a heavy toll of lives and property on our roads. And the problem of making the highways safe is everybody's. Records show that where strong, sound traffic laws exist and are strictly enforced, traffic deaths have gone down. Get behind your public officials and law enforcement authorities and support them in tightening up the traffic laws in your community. Urge your family to observe all safety rules as drivers and as pedestrians. For information on organizing community action, write to the National Safety Council, Chicago 11, Illinois. And remember, where traffic laws are obeyed and enforced, deaths go down. The sixth inning is getting underway, and the leadoff batter against Whitey Ford will be Red Chaindienst, who has sparkled defensively right throughout the series. Yesterday, he turned in two magnificent fielding plays, moving quickly to his left to plug up the hole. And this afternoon, has pulled the key of fielding play. In this ball game, with a great leap, a knockdown of Ferris, a smash, and a throw to first to retire Yogi on an out that, had it not been made, would have brought a run over. The first pitch is swung on and missed for strike one. Chaindienst this afternoon has grounded out twice. He's up there now for the third time, leading off this sixth inning. Whitey Ford, all set to work. Strike one to Chaindienst. Here's the pitch. A slow curve swung on as a fly ball to left center. Sebring is going for it, so is Mantle. Neither can get it, it's between them. Rolling out toward the center path. Mantle takes the ground. Chaindienst rounding second. He's on the way to third. And he goes into third. Chaindienst, home out of that time with a fly ball which seemed to pick up speed as it carried out there into deep left center. It hit right in between the Siebert and Mantle. It rolled out to the center path in between the 402 and the 457-foot sign. Mantle finally tracked it down to Shane East. Wendell speeding around second and on the way into third. Kubek went out to get the relay, but made no throw. Shane East leads off the sixth with a lusty three-bagger. And now the Milwaukee Reds have a tremendous scoring opportunity. The infield is drawn tight, and the batter at the plate is a clutch hitter for the Braves, Johnny Logan, who is 0-2 today. The pitch swung on and missed for strike one. So the Yankees, in this tight ball game, have drawn in the infield. Nobody out. Logan the batter, and strike one the count. Red Shane East is perched on third. Boyd looks in to get the sign from Barra. There's the windup. And the pitch on the way. Swung on as a ground ball to shortstop Kubek. And by Kubek. Shane East comes in to score. And the Braves lead. Tony Kubek is charged with a costly error, as Logan sent a ground ball right to him. It went through Kubek into left center. Shane Dean scoring. And the Braves go up in front. That was a costly one, as had Kubek come up with the ball, which was to him, it would have kept the runner on third. No RBI is accorded. Here's Matthews. And a quick throw to first base. Logan gets back to the bag. So Milwaukee is in front by a 1-0 score. There's nobody out. Logan at first. Matthews waits. He bunts and it's popped up. Whitey Ford makes the attempt to get the ball. And it looked like he was waiting to see whether or not it would drop or would not drop. He finally caught it just inches off the ground and threw to first base. But Logan got back to the bag. So Matthews with the pop-up to Ford. And it appeared as if Ford was trying to devise a bit of strategy there as to whether or not to let it drop and then make the play at second and back to first. He finally took it as he came in off the mound, just inches off the ground, and threw to first, and Logan hustled back to the bag. So Matthews out on the bunt pop-up. On the batter now is Hank Aaron, who whistled a two-bagger inside third in the fourth inning. Later moved to third on a wild pitch but was grounded there. Braves lead, 1-0. The pitch is wide for ball one. Ball one to Aaron. On first base, Logan, and there is one out. A look toward the runner and a throw to first base, and Logan is back to the bag. Shane Neitz led off with a long three-bagger in this inning, which dropped between Siebert and Mantle. And then with the infield drawn in, Logan sent one through Kubek to score Shane Neitz. There's a swing and a miss. On the count now is 1-1 to Aaron. The Yankees have Richardson over there at third, and he's fairly close to the line with Aaron up. Last time that Hank was up, he sent one in between Bobby and third base. Bobby's moved a bit closer. 1-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And there's a pitch wide for ball two. Strike one to Aaron. Well, the big break in this ballgame so far has come here in this top half of the sixth inning. And the Braves, who have been opportunists all season, have cashed in on it for the first run posted today. Aaron set with a two-ball strike one count. Logan taking a very slim lead off first to Ford, a great pickoff artist. Here's the pitch. And there's a slow grounder going out to Kubek. He gets it over second for one. The first, too late. Kubek appeared to fumble that ball ever so slightly. Looked like it hit deep in his glove up near the heel of it. He went down to one knee just to make sure in getting that ball over to Gil McDougal. However, with a fleet-footed man like Aaron going along that line at first, It does not seem too probable. Not even a quicker execution would have made the double play, as that ball was a rather slow one, hit out to short. Joe Adcock is up there now. On first base, it's Aaron. Here's the pitch. Adcock breaks his bat as he sends a slow ground to Kubek, who gets it over to McDougal at second to force Aaron and retire the side. So on this top half of the sixth inning, the total show a run. There was a hit, an arrow, and one left. And the score after the top half of the sixth inning is Milwaukee 1 and the Yankees nothing. Hi, Danny. Folks, here's Danny Murtaugh, manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who led his team from a tie for last in 57 to a second-place finish this past year in the National League. Man, what a comeback that was. Congratulations, Danny.
Thank you, Bob.
And how about next year? Do you think you may go all the way or not?
Well, Bob, I'll tell you one thing. If we can play ball the first half of the season, we played the last half of this season, somebody better watch out.
Danny, we're seeing a low-scoring game. Do you think that pattern will change or not?
No, I don't believe so. I think, Bob, that you're seeing out there the reason why both of these clubs won the respective pennants. In other words, the tight pitching by the Braves in our league enabled them to win the pennant, and also with the Yanks.
Here's a question, Danny, that's easy to answer. Mind telling the fans how you shave?
Not at all, Bob. I use a Gillette razor. In fact, I have for years.
You know, now, as a World Series special, a one-piece Gillette TV razor costs only 79 cents. That's right, only 79 cents for a modern Gillette razor, a dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, and a case that's mighty useful. Thank you, Danny Murtaugh. And now we're all set to move into action in the bottom half of the sixth inning, and Norm Seaborn, who is the first man up, takes ball one. Seaborn is 0 for 1. He's also walked. Here's the pitch, and it's a called strike. Count now is 1-1. The Braves lead by a 1-0 score with an unearned run in the top of the sixth. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and it's a curve which gets the corner nicely for a called strike. It's ball one, strike two to Seaborn. And now Seaborn is out of the batter's box. He's back in. And we're all set to go. Spawn looks in to get the sign. Here's the pitch. And there's a foul back out of play. And the count holds at ball one and strike two. It's interesting to note that Shane Deetst, who had a key triple and eventually scored on the arrow, Red had only one triple all season. He saved his second triple for this World Series. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Seaborn. And it's a sprint call. A curveball which broke on the outside corner. Seaborn is out. There's one away, and the batter now is Gil McDougal, who has struck out and has grounded out. This Spawn, with his assortment of pitches, breaking pitches, is a rough man out there. He's struck out three so far. McDougal, one of the strikeout victims. And now Gil steps in with one out, nobody on in the bottom half of the sixth. Warren into the windup. And the pitch on the way is high for a ball. McDougal slipped his hand up the bat that time as if he might lay it down. Passed up the chance. Ball one. On deck is Hank Bauer, who so far today has been shut out in his quest to keep his streak going and help the New York Yankees. There's a pitch on the outside corner, and the count now is a called strike, 1-1. 1-1 to McDougal. The outfield is playing Gil straight away. Matthews, at third, has moved in just a bit for the right-handed batter. Pitch swung on. There's a fly ball to deep left center. Covington is going back. So is Aaron. And Aaron makes the catch, almost colliding with Covington as the two almost met out there in deep left center field. A blast around 400 feet or more. Gil McDougal out. Aaron held up his hand that time and apparently yelled to ward off Covington as the two were converging. So there are now two away. And here's Hank Bauer, yesterday's big gun for the New York Yankees, who has popped up and grounded out. Spawn delivers And it's a curve for a called strike. Spahn throws the curve, the slider, the screwball. Gets that fast one in there and is a most effective pitcher. Strike one to Bauer. Here's the pitch, and it misses the outside corner. The count now is 1-1. One and one to Hank. Two outs, nobody on in the bottom half of the sixth inning. Here's the windup. Here it comes. And there's a high hopper going out to Logan at short. He takes the big hop, gets it over to first for the out. So the side retiring in 1-2-3 fashion in this bottom half of the sixth inning. And the score at the end of six, Milwaukee 1, the Yankees nothing.
Hello there, everybody. I'm Mal Allen with a giant offer from Papermate that tops them all. Listen, how'd you like a genuine Papermate pen free? How'd you like a genuine Papermate refill free? Sound good? Well, that's exactly what you get. Free pen, free refill. When you buy Papermate's famous two-tone pen at the regular $1.69 price. What a bargain. As it says right on the special Papermate display, you get a two-tone pen worth $1.69, plus an extra silver-tip refill worth 49 cents, plus a retractable schoolmate utility pen worth 39 cents. A $2.57 value. All three for only $1.69. How about that? A $2.57 value for only $1.69. Look for the special Papermate display at stores everywhere. Buy your two-tone pen at regular price. Get an extra pen, an extra refill, free from Papermate. This sensational offer is limited. So hurry and get your free Papermate pen and free refill now.
The seventh inning. And still the score is Milwaukee 1 and the New York Yankees nothing. The Yankees have but one hit. The Milwaukee Braves have four. And of the Braves' four, Joe Crandall, who's up there now, has two. Here's the pitch. A bunt, and it goes foul. Outside the third baseline, Bobby Richardson up with the ball, flips it back out to Whitey Ford, and it's strike one to Crandall. The Braves have had two extra base hits and two singles, and Dell has both of the singles. Both have been to left center. Here's the pitch, and a curve comes in high. The count now is 1-1 to Crandall. Covington and Papko will follow. Ford all set, the side from Berra. The outfield is playing slightly around toward left for Crandall. Whitey starts the windup, and the pitch on the way is inside as Crandall falls down to the ground. Ball two, strike one. Little plate dusting by John Flaherty as Crandall outside the batter's box at the moment. Ball two, strike one. At Crandall, back in and waiting. Ford all set to work. Left-hander gets the side from Berra. Into the windup. And the 2-1 pitch on the way. Another breaking pitch, which is over for a called strike two. On the count now, 2-2 to Crandall. The shadows have lengthened over the infield. Still in the sun, Richardson and Kubek on the left side. Here's the pitch. And there's a foul, which is outside of third. Count holds 2-2 to Crandall. The winds here are very tricky in Yankee Stadium. The flags up atop the roof are all blowing toward right, as it appears the wind is sweeping from left to right. But at times out there, the flag in center is blowing in a straightaway direction, so it's difficult to tell. Any ball hit high up in the air hits those swirling currents. Here's the pitch, and it comes in high. On the count now is 3-2 to Crandall. Gil McDougall plays about as far off to his right as any second baseman in the league. And right now, for Crandall, he's way over toward his right and just about a half foot back in the outfield grass. The pitch swung on, and there's a foul again outside of third. And the count holds 3-2 to Crandall. Whitey Ford wants another baseball. He'll get it from the plate umpire, John Flaherty. Crandall wears that number one in his uniform. Steps back in as Ford now has the glove off, rubs up the ball. Now the southpaw's ready. The 3-2 pitch coming up, and it's on the way. Inside for a walk, inside and high. So Crandall leads off in the seventh inning by drawing a walk, and that brings up Wes Covington, who's grounded out and struck out. Well, in the previous inning, the sixth, Shane Dietz got on as the leadoff batter eventually came around to score. On that walk issued by Whitey Ford, who is a tremendous control pitcher, is his first of the afternoon. Covington in and waiting, left-handed batter, takes low for a ball. The one score came in the sixth. Shane Deans tripled to left center. And with the infield in, Logan sent one which went through Kubek. And Shane Deans romped in with a tally. It's ball one to Covington. Crandall on first, takes a very slim lead. Ford looks over. The pitch is bunted. Attempted bunt. Fielded was taken by Barra for the strike. As West attempted to lay that one down. And it ended up in Barra's mitt. So all the count now is 1-1. Covington now steps out to get some dirt. He's had a tremendous year in the RBI column, considering the number of games that he's been able to play because of the injured knee and the pulled thigh muscle. Here's the pitch. He swings. There's a long glove on a deep center. Mantle backpedals. He's deep, waiting. He's got it. And Crandall, who is most of the way down towards second, now gets back to first. Covington golfed one, a long fly out to deep center. Mantle, who was playing deep, took a look, moved back, and was there waiting as it came down. That brings up the veteran Andy Papko, who also sent Mantle deep in the fifth with a fly out, and prior to that, grounded out. There's one out, one on in this seventh inning with the Braves leading by a 1-0 score as Andy Papko steps in, batting number 8 spot for Milwaukee. Swings, sends a fly ball to right center. Mantle moves for it, still racing. He can't get it. It's backed up by Bauer. On the way to third base is Crandall. In the second goes Papko with a double. Well, there's a case where the strong wind, which is blowing toward right, might have had an influence on the play as Papko lifted a high fly ball out to right center field, and Mickey Mantle, who was racing for the ball, just kept racing with his glove outstretched. He couldn't get to it, and Bauer, who was backing up on the play, moving to his right, came up on the ball, but Papko went into second with a two-bagger, and on the play, Crandall, who had held up slightly to see what would happen, whether or not the catch would be made, moved on to third. And that brings up the pitcher, Warren Spahn, who has struck out twice, as Milwaukee has a big scoring opportunity here in the seventh inning. They lead by a score of 1-0. The Braves now have 5 hits, and 3 of the 5 have been for extra bases. Manager Casey Stengel has his foot perched on the top dugout step as he watches intently, and the Yankees draw the infield in as Spahn steps up. There's one out. Crandall on third, Papko on second. Here's the pitch, and it's a swing and a miss for strike one. Spahn that time appeared to be a little bit up on the bat as he made a swing without his full power. He just seemed to take a half poke at it. And it's strike one to Warren Spahn. Yankee infield drawn tight with runners on third and second and one away. Ford looks toward third. And now he steps back off the mound and goes to the rosin bag. All set to go. Here's the pitch. And it comes in high. Count is 1-1. Cooks is warming up for New York. 1-1. The count to Spahn. Ford all set to go. The Braves with runners on third and second. Here's the pitch. And there goes a fly ball to short left. Seabird comes in. He can't get it. In short left field. Crandall scores. Half goal. Pulls to second. Warren Spahn put one, which was just about 25 or 30 feet out there in short left. The infield was drawn in tight, and so the shortstop couldn't go back. But Seaburn, who was playing fairly shallow, came in, and he still couldn't get to it. He might possibly have had difficulty with the strong sun, which is beating down there in left field, but it fell into extremely short left field as Warren Spahn drives in the run, Crandall scoring, Papgall held at second on the strong possibility that it might be caught. So Spawn has his second RBI in the series, now 3-7, and the batter is Sheeney. The Braves lead 2-0 with men on first and second, and the pitch is a called strike one to Red. He tripled last time up. Milwaukee leads 2-0 in the seventh inning. Runners in first and second and one out. The infield double play depth. The pitch is low, and the count now is 1-1. Warren Spahn is now hitting .429 in the series. 1-1 the count to Red Sheeney, whose triple in the sixth opened up the gates. He eventually scored on the error. The pitch comes in low. 2 balls, strike one. In this inning, Crandall, who got on base with Ford's first walk, came around to score after a two-bagger by Papko and a single to short left by Warren Spahn. Sheeney's waiting. Here's the pitch. And there goes a ground ball to McDougald. Over to Kubek for one. Back to Scourin. It's a double play. So the side retired in this top of the seventh with the total showing a run. There were two hits, no errors, and a man left. The score after the top half of the seventh inning is Milwaukee 2 and the Yankees nothing. Among the Milwaukee relief specialists is the winner of the 1955 All-Star Game, 6'8" Gene Conley. Today, Gene's got a message for you, and here he is by transcription.
It didn't take me long to learn that the only way to get a decent shave is with a Gillette blade and a Gillette razor.
Yes, sir, you'll find that most ball players, like everyone else, go for Gillette. And now, while the supply lasts, you have an opportunity of getting a Gillette at the low price of 79 cents. I mean the Gillette one-piece TV razor. Here's a solid dollar value that's selling like lightning for only 79 cents. But the limited supply is going fast, so act now. Get in on the shaves that millions of men say can't be matched. Clean, comfortable, refreshing shaves that stay with you hours longer. Stop in at a nearby store and pick up a modern Gillette TV razor, dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, handy travel case for just 79 cents. Seventh inning, Mickey Mantle leads off. Here's the attendance being announced. 71,563. 71,563. Mantle had a triple against the fence in left center in the fourth inning. And that has been the only Yankee hit off Warren Spahn. Here's the pitch to Mickey. He swings and fouls one off to the right, up on the upper deck, for strike one. Total for four games of witness the series, 235,896. Strike one to Mantle. Spahn all set to work. Behind a 2-0 lead. Here's the pitch, and it's over for a call strike. That's strike two to Mantle. On deck is Bill Scarlett and then Yogi Berra. Warren Spahn. Great southpaw, the Milwaukee Braves, who so far has yielded but one hit, while Milwaukee has picked up six and two runs. This is the bottom half of the seventh inning. Mantle is back in with a two-strike count, batting right-handed. Spahn looks in for the sign. There's the windup. And the pitch on the way is over for call strike three. Four strikeouts by Spahn, who fed Mantle a breaking pitch that time for the first out in the bottom half of the seventh. And the batter now is Scarron, who's grounded out twice. So far this afternoon, Spahn has, for the most part, kept those Yankees hitting the ball in the dirt. There's ball one. Half-field put-outs have been few and far between. Ball one to Skarin. Three put-outs altogether in the outfield. Here's the next pitch. Skarin sends a grounder. It's by Swan going into center field. And Skarin is on first base. That was a hard shot back through the middle. Tired nine in a row until Scarlett came up with a hit. Now here's Barrow, who is 0-2. The pitch is a called strike on the outside corner. Barrow grounded out sharply in the first to Adcock, and then sent the liner that Cheney's knocked down in the fourth through to first base on a close play for the out. Barrow with a head first dive couldn't get there. The pitch is wide. The count now is 1-1. Well, when Barrow's up there, the Yankee fans know that they've got a clutch man up who, with one swing of that bat, has the power to tie the ball game for the man on first. 1-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And there's a pop-up, which is foul, going near the seat. Randall is racing for it near the screen. He's got it. And now, a quick throw back toward the infield so that Scowen cannot advance. Derek Randall, with racing off to his left, took that just about a foot or so from the low railing. Just to the left of the screen. It's a fine defensive play by Crandall. Bobby Richardson has not come up out of the dugout. And we'll wait and see what manager Casey Stengel's maneuver will be right now. McMahon is now throwing in the bullpen for Milwaukee. Here's Elston Howard coming up as a pinch hitter. Elston Howard, who was slated to start but taken out just before game time, will come up as a pinch hitter. Well, there's drama aplenty as Elston Howard gets set to come up now to face Warren Spahn with two outs and Scowron on first base. Elston Howard, last year, you may recall, hit a three-run homer and tied the ball game against Warren Spahn. Braves went on to win in the 10th, but Howard, who is a right-handed batter, is coming up there now. Pauses outside the batter's box. We're waiting now before Howard steps in. Apparently out there in center field, a kite string is stretched across the outfield, and it may be interfering with the visibility somewhat. And that is the reason for the delay. So Howard has paused, and meanwhile, Warren Spahn is taking his warm-up pitches while this string or wire out there is being adjusted. It apparently is coming from outside up above the roof of the ballpark and is coming right across the outfield into the bleachers in right center. And now a Yankee Stadium attendant is going out to take care of it. So all is halted till this is taken care of. The problem is wheeling in the wire somewhat as you would a fishing reel line, and that's what the attendant is doing right now as it comes down from the top of the roof out there and left. Elston Howard, so far in the series, is 0-6 in his batting. He was the Yankees' leading hitter during the course of the season with a .314 batting average, although he did not bat enough times to figure in the league batting race, which was won by Ted Williams, who now is fishing, I assume, and listening to the broadcast. And now we're all set. The wire finally is taken care of. And Elston Howard steps in. With Scarlin at first, two away in the bottom half of the seventh. And the score of Milwaukee two and the Yankees nothing. Here's the pitch. And Howard watches a breaking pitch for a call strike. Elston Howard up there, dunning for Richardson with a strike one count. Stretching the balls by Spahn. Here it comes. And there's a foul back just above us. Our broadcast booth is out in the open here in New York. So you've got to stay alert, hoping for one of those souvenirs. Strike two to Howard. Scarron on first, two outs. 2-0 Milwaukee. A look toward the runner. Here's the pitch. And it's a strike, three foul. Spahn came in with one on the outside corner for the strikeout to retire the side. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. The score at the end of seven. Milwaukee two and New York nothing.
Look sharp. Feel sharp. Be sharp. The only way to get a decent shave is Gillette. Is Gillette. Shave Gillette.
Let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
For over three generations around the world, Saratoga Vichy has been the Vichy, the real Vichy.
Get the yellow label, yellow label, yellow label, yellow label.
Saratoga Vichy, for living carbonation that never goes flat, for extra dry flavor. Get real Vichy, Saratoga Vichy. WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Individually adjustable front seats are only one of the new features on the glamorous 59 Rambler. More safety, famous Rambler economy. Drive it at Cummings Motors, 1040 State Street, Schenectady.
The eighth inning getting underway. Andy Carey takes over at third base for New York. And Johnny Logan will lead off against Whitey Ford. Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick, recovering from an appendectomy, is still hopeful of coming out to be among the thousands to witness the game. He's recuperating rapidly, which is certainly good news. Here's Johnny Logan now, leading off in this eighth inning. And it was Johnny's ball which went through Kubek, which brought in Shane Dienst in the sixth. He takes ball one. That was the big break. And when two pitches, such as Ford and Spahn, get together, a break can be the deciding factor. Ball one to Logan. Here's Ford's pitch. And it's low for ball two. The other break came for the second run after Crandall had drawn Ford's first walk. He moved to third on Papko's hit into right center. And on Spahn's loft into short left, Crandall scored. Here's the pitch. And there's a bunt, and it goes foul. Ball two, strike one to Logan. But this is a pressure game, certainly, this afternoon. The Yankees need this one with their ace out there in Whitey Ford to even up this series. And for Milwaukee, if they take it, they'll have a big lead of 3-1. Tomorrow, it's Turley against Burdett. Logan waits. Here's the 2-1 pitch. And it's inside for ball three, 3-1. Following Logan, Eddie Matthews and Hank Aaron. The Braves, so far this afternoon, have come up with six hits. Out of those six, three have been for extra bases. So far, the Yankees have two hits. Here's the pitch. And there goes a long fly to left. Seaborn is back. He can't find it. It's done. It bounces in front of him on the center path and then into the seats for a ground rule double. Norm Seaborn went back on the cinder path. He looked up in the sun looking for the ball. He shied away from it. The ball hit on the cinder path in front of the barrier out there in left and batted up over the barrier for a ground rule double. Seaborn did not get his bit on it at all. Casey Stengel came up on the dugout step for a moment, peering out there as that sun has caused havoc throughout the afternoon in that left field. And Logan is on second. Here now is Eddie Matthews. Carey comes in as Matthews sends a long fly ball to deep right center field. It's up against the fence there, fielded by Mantle. Matthews Matthew skates in a second. Logan's on the way to the plate, and he scores. Casey Stengel's going out to the mound. Matthews put one up off the fence near the 407-foot sign. A tremendous swat. Bauer was moving to his right. Mantle, who's moving over to his left. Mantle finally fielded the ball as Logan came in to score, and Matthews moved in a second. So Eddie Matthews, who has been held in check throughout the series, explodes here in this eighth with a double, driving in Logan and giving the Milwaukee Braves a 3-0 lead. Stengel is out there at the mound along with Yogi Berra. Johnny Cooks has been warming up, but we'll see whether or not he will or will not be getting the call. Well, the Braves here have cashed in at every opportunity, and therefore are out there in front. Cooks is coming in. Milwaukee now has 8 hits to 2 for the New York Yankees. And 5 of the 8 hits by the Braves have been of the extra base variety. Johnny Cooks is coming in. And the first man that he'll be pitching to will be Hank Aaron. Casey Stengel out there talking things over with Yogi Berra as they wait for the new pitcher to arrive on the scene. There's the announcement, and Whitey Ford leads. And for Whitey, a fine round of applause. Well, Whitey had rough going this afternoon. It was a fine effort. The Braves cashed in on every break that came their way with the pressure on this afternoon. The first run that Whitey yielded came after a triple by Sheendienst and an error on the succeeding play by Kubek. The second run that Whitey gave up came after a walk and out, a two-bagger, and then a loft into very short left by Spahn with the Yankee infield drawn tight. The shortstop could not get back, and the left fielder Seaburn could not get in time. It fell in very shallow left, and that brought over run number 2. And here, in this eighth inning, the fates again decreed that Logan, with a high fly ball to left, it dropped in there in front of Seaburn, who lost it in the sun, bound it up on the seats. On that two-bagger was followed by Matthews' blast, a well-tagged ball up against the right center field fence, driving in the third run and giving the Braves a 3-0 lead. So that's the situation now as Johnny Cooks takes over at this point. Cooks is 6'3", 183 pounds, and he is a right-hander, 25 years old. The highlight of his career was his 9-0 shutout of the Dodgers in a three-hitter in the seventh and deciding game of the 1956 World Series. He was 8-8 this past season, but was particularly effective toward the end. He started 15 games, he relieved in 19. He has good control on most occasions, keeps the ball low, and he's all set to work now with Matthews on second and Aaron at the plate. Cooks ready, delivers, and there's a foul for strike one. Whitey Ford, who never has been in a losing game in New York's Yankee Stadium in a working game of the 1956 World Series. He was 8-8 this past season, but was particularly effective toward the end. He started 15 games, he relieved in 19. He has good control on most occasions, keeps the ball low, and he's all set to work now with Matthews on second and Aaron at the plate. Cooks ready, delivers, and there's a foul for strike one. Whitey Ford, who never has been in a losing game in New York's Yankee Stadium in a World Series, with 5 victories here, has departed.
trailing by a 3-0 score. Aaron at the plate is 1-3. Matthews is on second. There's nobody out, and this is the eighth inning. Here's the pitch, and there's a ground ball off Kubek's right foot. It bounces over to Kubek, who makes a throw to first too late. Matthews goes to third, and Aaron is on first base. So Hank Aaron with a hit off Cooks has moved Matthews to third, and that brings up Joe Adcock. And the Milwaukee players this afternoon, coming through capitalizing on every opportunity, are continuing to put on the pressure. Now Torrey has moved out and will come up as a pinch hitter for Adcock. Frank Torrey, a left-handed batter. Also a fine defensive first baseman, is coming up here in this eighth inning with men on first and third. So Torrey now steps in. Torrey is hitting 300 in the series. The stretch and the pause. The pitch is over for a called strike. The Yankee infield is playing at double play depth. Kubek and McDougal set up halfway. At third, Carey is playing in a line with the bag. And Scourin is keeping Aaron close at first. There's a quick throw to first base, and Aaron is by. Torrey, who comes from Brooklyn, must have many folks from that vicinity here witnessing this game today. Strike one, the count. Here's the pitch, and it is low, almost got away from Yogi Berra. Count now is 1-1. In this inning, Logan had a two-bagger to left, lost in the sun. Matthews followed with a two-bagger to right center, driving in Logan. And on Aaron's infield hit, Matthews sped to third. There's a quick throw over to first base, and Aaron is back to the bag. Torrey is 3 hits and 10 times up in the series. Here's the pitch. He swings, sends a looper, which is taken by the shortstop Kubek with a one-hand grab. And the runners hold. It appeared to be off the handle. It was rising, but not hit too hard. And Kubek went back, lifted up the glove, and hauled it in. So that means one away as Del Crandall, who so far has had a perfect afternoon with two singles to left center and a walk, steps in now. There's one out. Runners on first and third. The pitch to Dell is over for a call strike. Strike one to Crandall. Dell drew the first and only walk given up by Ford, but it proved to be a most important one as it eventually resulted in a run. Another throw to first base by Cooks, and Aaron is back to the bag. The right side of the infield in shadows now. Crandall waits. And the curveball is wide. Berra had to move out quickly on that one to haul it in. Strong sun still beating down there in left and in center. Carey is also in the sun at third, as is Kubek at short. Cook's ready. And now he flips one over to first base again as Aaron gets back to the bag. Matthews at third, Aaron at first, and there's one out. Crandall outside the batter's box. Now steps back in once again. The count is 1-1. And now a quick throw to first base by Cooks. And again, Aaron is back. Hank had not strayed too far off. However, he's a very fast man. Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. And the count now is ball one, strike two. With the possibility of a double play looming, Cooks wants to keep Aaron just as close as he can over there at first. Ball one, strike two to Del Crandall. Stretching the pause for the right-hander. Cooks' pitch is swung on and fouled off to the right. That time, Crandall tossed his bat at that pitch as it was breaking on the outside corner. And chopped the ball foul. So the count holds at ball one, strike two to Crandall. As the Braves
catcher picks up the bat and now steps back in. And now Cooks ready. Studies the batter for the moment. The stretch and the pause. Here's the pitch. And it comes in wide. Count now is 2-2, and they're keeping that ball on the outside on Crandall. On the outside, breaking pitches so far. He's been fed, and they're breaking low. 2-2, that's been the pitching pattern up to this point by Johnny Cooks. Crandall in and waiting with a 2-2 count. Stretching the pause with the right-hander. Here it comes. A curve is fouled back, and the count holds at 2-2. Milwaukee is leading by a 3-0 score. And the Braves have had 9 hits, the Yankees but 2. Cook's all set to work. Looks in for the sign. Stretch and the pause by Cooks. Here's the pitch. And there goes a pop-up out near the mound. Scarron goes over, and he's got it. That means they're now 2 away. Runners on first and third. One run has come across, and this is the top half of the 8th inning. And at the plate is Wes Covington, who today is grounded out, struck out, and flied out to center field. Covington, who has been a clutch hitter for the Milwaukee Braves all season, stands in. Left-handed batter. He's got a lot of power. We notice a shift now in the outfield as Mantle goes a bit toward his right and is playing Covington almost straight away, but Bauer is very deep in right center. Here's the pitch, and it comes in high for a ball. Bauer actually is on the fringe of the cinder track out there in right center, close to the Yankee bullpen. Ball one, the count to Covington. Braves hoping to apply the crusher here in this 8th as they now boast a 3-0 lead and would like to add to it. We come down the home stretch here in this game this afternoon with Milwaukee leading in the series. 2-1. Covington waiting. Ball on the count. Cooks again throws to first base, and Hank Aaron back to the bag. Matthews at third. Aaron is on first. They're 2 away. One run across in the 8th. Covington outside the batter's box. He doesn't like to be kept waiting. And he steps back in, and now as he does, Cooks with his back toward home plate. Looks around at his defense. Pretty strong breeze is blowing toward right. Stretching the pause by Cooks as he's set. Here it comes. And there's the pitch coming in wide. And the count now is ball 2 to Wes Covington. Covington again outside the batter's box. Now back in. He smooths the dirt a bit. Bumps the bat on the plate, looks out toward the mound. 2-0 the count. Stretch and the pause. A look toward the runner at first. The pitch is wide for ball 3. 3-0 to Covington. And Wes again is out. He looks down toward Billy Herman at third, the coach. Cooks comes down off the mound. He smooths out the dirt a bit in front of the pitching rubber. Covington again takes his place. Count. 3-0. Cook set, delivers, and the last pitch is intentionally wide. So Covington goes to first base. Aaron moves on to second. And we're going to have a runner. Bruton will run for Covington at first base. Bill Bruton, who has been the star of the first 2 games of the series, goes over as a runner at first. Batter is Andy Papko coming up. Papko is 1-for-3. Well, Papko is the batter, and the bases are loaded. Here's the pitch, and it's inside for a ball. The runner is now Matthews at third. Aaron, who moved up on the walk to second. And a Bruton at first base running for Wes Covington. The bases are loaded with 2 outs in this 8th inning. Milwaukee with a 3-0 lead. Papko waiting with a ball 1 count. Here's the pitch. And there's a hopper, which is taken by Carey. Throw to second for the out. Harry made a fine play to get over to Jim McDougald as he moved quickly to his left. And the force out was made there to retire the side. So in the top half of the eighth inning, the total show, a run. There were three hits, no errors, and three left. And the score after the top half of the eighth, Milwaukee 3, the Yankees nothing. Well, you saw how close the Yankees kept Aaron to first base. There are some fast men on these teams, and Hank is one of them. You know, it takes Hank only 3.3 seconds to get to first base. That's traveling. Now, you don't have to move that fast, but the way the Gillette World Series Special is selling, you can't wait too long. What a deal this is. For 79 cents, you get a modern Gillette one-piece TV razor, a dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, and handsome travel cakes. Buy one, and you're in for peak shaving comfort. Clean, refreshing shaves that make you look and feel right on top. Add to this the convenience of instant blade changing, plus the economy of double edges, and you've got yourself a real buy. But hurry, the supply of these Gillette TV razors is going fast. Stop in at a nearby store and buy yours. Only 79 cents for the one-piece Gillette TV razor, dispenser of blue blades, and handy travel case. And now Enos Slaughter moves in as a pinch hitter for Kubek. As the Braves change defensively, we'll give you that in a moment. Here's Spawn's pitch, and it's inside for ball one. Here are the changes now. Torrey is at first base. Papko is in left. There's a strike called to Slaughter, who is batting for Kubek. We're in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Papko is in left, Bruton in center, Aaron in right, and Torrey at first. A swing and a miss. So the Braves now have a strong defensive alignment in there. As Enos Slaughter is at the plate for the ball one strike two count. And there's a strike call. And Slaughter is out. Protesting just slightly to John Flaherty. John's opinion that hooked the corner as this Spawn has been just threading a needle this afternoon. Slaughter is out number one in the bottom half of the eighth inning. And now another pinch hitter, Jerry Lumpy, will bat for Cooks. Lumpy steps in, a left-handed batter, lifts a high pop-up out near second base where Shaneen's just waiting. And he's got it for the out. Right at a move, slightly back on the grass to the right of second. For out number two is Norm Seaborn, who is 0 for 2 and has walked, steps in. Well, the Yankees set up Slaughter, who now is 0 for 2 in the batting in the series, and Lumpy, who is now 1 for 5. And here's Seaborn, who takes a call strike. They're two away in the bottom half of the eighth. Score 3-0, Milwaukee leads. Here's Spawn's pitch, and it's a strike call. That was one at the knees, and Seaborn took it for strike two. Two outs, bottom half of the eighth inning. Spawn all set to work. Southpaw into the windup. Here's the pitch, and a swing and a miss. Seaborn is out of the strikeout. Warren Spawn with a tremendous pitching demonstration this afternoon. That's down the Yankees in order in the bottom half of the eighth inning. And the score at the end of eight. Milwaukee 3, New York nothing.
Hurry and get your Gillette TV razor. Just 79 cents, then what a buy. Then we'll tell you it's in short supply. So hurry and get your Gillette TV razor. Go get one fast and be in luck for 79 cents instead of a buck.
Let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
What a difference the real Vichy makes. Saratoga Vichy, extra dry flavor, living carbonation. And because it's alkaline, Saratoga Vichy helps assure a clearer head in the morning. Is actually good for you.
Get the yellow light, yellow light, yellow light, yellow
light. Saratoga Vichy, the real Vichy. WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. A new automotive star is born, the 59 Rambler, loaded with even more features than last year's sales record smasher. See it, drive it, at Cummings Motors, 1040 State Street, Schenectady.
Here's the ninth inning, and Murray Dixon, 42-year-old knuckleball specialist, comes in to take over. He's the third Yankee pitcher, and Jerry Lumpy is now in playing shortstop. The ninth inning getting underway, and Warren Spahn, who has yielded but two hits, will be coming up in just a moment, and I'm sure he'll get a fine round of applause. Here he comes up out of the dugout, Warren Spahn. Once again, it's not only been Spahn's great pitching, but also that bat, which has spoken this afternoon. You may recall in the first game that Spahn pitched and won, he had two hits and a run batted in. Well, this afternoon, Spahn came through with 1-for-3 and also a run batted in, the second that the Braves have scored today. He steps up now to face Murray Dixon, a right-hander. All set to go in the ninth inning. Here comes the pitch, and it's over for a called strike. Nine hits so far for Milwaukee, and the Yankees have but two. Spahn, personally, has driven in one more run than he has yielded. Here's the pitch, and there's a grounder going out to the second baseman McDougal. He's up with it. They throw to Skarin for the out. There's one away in the top half of the ninth. Batter is Red Sheendienst, whose hitting and his fielding have been top-notch throughout this World Series. Red has 1-for-4 this afternoon, and his triple resulted eventually in the first run as he came in to score on Logan's grounder through shortstop. So Red is in there. And the first pitch breaks wide. Ball one. The score is Milwaukee 3 and the New York Yankees nothing. We're in the ninth inning. Here at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees with their backs to the walls this afternoon. The pitch to Red. Swung on and popped up foul. Vera's coming back. He's under it. And he has it. They're two away. That brings up Johnny Logan. Logan scored the Braves' third run. He lifted a two-bagger to left, which was missed out there in the sunfield. Seaburn couldn't find it. It hopped into the seats for a ground rule double. And on Matthews' two-bagger, Logan scored. Johnny has 1-for-4. And the first pitch is a called strike. Actually, Logan has put the whammy on the Yankees today because two successive appearances. One resulted in an error, the other a ball in the sun. There's a foul off to the right. Count now, strike two to Logan. They'll tell you right around the league that the sun field here in New York is as treacherous as you can find in baseball. Two strikes to Logan. Here comes the pitch, and there's a grounder, which is foul outside of third, and the count holds at strike two. It's a very silent New York crowd which is sitting in on this game today. As the Yankees, who yesterday shut out the Milwaukee Braves, so far are suffering the same treatment today. The pitch comes in high, and it's ball one, strike two. Murray Dixon out there in the mound. Right-hander winds, and the 1-2 pitch swung on. There's a fly ball to left. Seaburn is going back, still going back. In the center path, he's got it. Third retired in the top half of the ninth. Seaburn made a fine catch. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left.
And the score after the top half of the ninth inning. Milwaukee 3, the Yankees nothing. Well, the Yankees are coming up right now. Now, this is it for New York in this fourth game. Gil McDougall comes striding up, swinging a couple of bats. He'll lead off. And then Hank Bauer and Mickey Mantle. So the Yankees have their big guns coming up in this inning. And the Braves know, as do the many fans listening in and looking in, that the Yankees are famed for erupting when things look the darkest. That's been the Yankee pattern throughout the years. But whether or not they can explode in the ninth against Warren Spahn may be another problem. Spahn, one of the great competitors in baseball. All set to work as we move into this bottom of the ninth. Gil McDougall, 0-3, is at the plate. Warren pointing out with his glove toward left, and he is moving Andy Papko just a bit. Papko is in left, Bruton in center, and Aaron in right. Torrey's at first. The pitch comes in low for a ball. Here's the next one. McDougal fouls one back. On the count now is 1-1. Gil struck out, he's grounded out, and he's flat out to center field. Warren Spahn rubbing up a new ball. Looks in now to get the sign from Cradle. Starts the windup, and the pitch on the way is high. On the count now is 2-1. Warren has shown fine control this afternoon. He likes to play those corners. Here's the pitch. And there's a fly ball going out to right center and taken out there by Bruton with a fine catch. He's going to make a lunge for the ball out near the cinder path in right center field as apparently, once again, the wind kept that ball moving away and McDougal is out. Here's Hank Bauer, who has popped up and grounded out twice. One out in the bottom half of the ninth. The pitch misses the outside corner for ball one. Ball one to Hank Bauer. Spahn winds. Here's the pitch. And there's a grounder along the third baseline to Matthews. Here's the throw, and Bauer is out. And that snaps his consecutive hitting streak in the World Series at 17 games, unless the Yankees, with two outs, can keep this one going. Mickey Mantle, who was one of the two hits that Warren Spahn has yielded, up there now with two away in the bottom half of the ninth inning. As Spahn looks in to get the sign from Cradle. Here's the windup by the left-hander. The pitch on the way is high for a ball. Warren has walked for two this afternoon. He has been in command throughout. The pitch is over, a breaking pitch for a called strike. 1-1 to Mantle. Mantle tripled in the fourth, and a good save by Sheenich kept Spahn's bid for a shutout intact. As Barra, the center liner, which the second baseman knocked down, threw to first in a close play. That has been the only big scoring opportunity so far for New York, and the Braves stopped that one. 1-1 to Mickey Mantle. Here it comes, and a breaking pitch is a bit too close for 2-1. Two away in the bottom half of the ninth inning. Milwaukee leading 3-0. Spahn winds. And the 2-1 pitch. Swung on. It's a ground ball going to the shortstop. Logan has it. The throw to Torrey. There's the ball game. The Milwaukee Braves win the ball game with the totals for Milwaukee 3 runs, 9 hits, no errors. The New York Yankees, no runs, 2 hits, and 1 error. In just a moment, we'll review the highlights of today's game for you.
White rain. Attention. The right step toward sunshine bright hair is to step right out and get White Rain shampoo. Because White Rain is the lotion shampoo so gentle, it's like washing your hair in softest rainwater. White Rain gives you rainwater soft suds and rainwater clean rinsing. And that's why White Rain always leaves your hair soft as a cloud, bright as sunshine. So girls, step into the sunshine with White Rain shampoo. Now hear this. You men will go for White Rain, too. It's rich and refreshing. So whether for your crew cut or your crowning glory, step out and get White Rain. Look for the new blue carton. Attention.
White Rain, use new White Rain shampoo tonight. And tomorrow your hair will be sunshine bright. White Rain.
Well, we have just seen a great pitching performance by the outstanding southpaw, the Milwaukee Braves pitching staff, Warren Spahn. As the Yankees and the Braves trade shutouts in the first two games at Yankee Stadium. But this was a damaging loss to the New York Yankees, who now trail the National League champion and defending world champion Braves 3-1. And the Braves tomorrow come back with their very fine right-hander, Lou Burdette, and he'll go against Bob Turley. Warren Spahn becomes the 11th pitcher in the history of the World Series to work a two-hit performance. There have been 10 previous two-hit games pitched in series competition. The last was by Vic Rashi of the New York Yankees against the Phillies, October the 4th, 1950. It was a scoreless ball game for the first five innings, and a break decided it in the top half of the sixth inning when Shane Deans hit a fly ball that landed between Mickey Mantle and Norm Siebert in left center field, and Shane Deans came around and perched on third base with a three-base hit. Then Logan hit a sharp ground ball to the shortstop, Tony Kubek. The ball went right through his legs out in the left field, and Shane Deans scores easily as Kubek was charged with the only error in the ball game this afternoon. The Braves led at that time 1-0. They added single runs in the seventh and the eighth inning to win it going away by the score of 3-0. So Warren Spahn wins his second ball game against the New York Yankees in the 1958 World Series. This, by the way, was a tough one for Whitey Ford. All the breaks went against Whitey this afternoon, and this was his first loss in World Series competition at Yankee Stadium. His record now in the Fall Classic, 5-40, and his record against Milwaukee in this series, no wins and one loss. Once again, the totals. The Milwaukee Braves, 3 runs, 9 hits, no errors, 8 men were left on base. And for the Yankees, no runs, 2 hits, 1 error, 4 men were left on base. Warren Spahn was magnificent, a two-hitter, a triple by Mickey Mantle in the last half of the fourth inning with one man out. And then Spahn bearing down, got Scullin on the ground ball right back to the mound. Then the key play of the ball game, the big play when Red Shandy leaped high for Yogi Berra's mid for a base hit, knocking down a line drive and threw him out at first base on a very, very close play. And Mantle was left stranded on third. The next base hit, the only other base hit off Spahn, came in the seventh inning, a single up the middle into center field by Bill Scullin. And a great record comes to a close this afternoon as Hank Bauer, who had hit safely in 17 consecutive ball games, was blanked by Warren Spahn. So the final scores, the Braves take the big edge in the series. Milwaukee, 3 victories. The Yankees won. That final score was 3-0 in favor of the Braves. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any public...